This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of your Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have as our guest today Senator Richard B. Russell, a Democrat from Georgia. Senator Russell, at the present time, is outranked by only one member in length of service in the Senate, although there are 35 senators who are older than he. He is currently chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee and the ranking Democratic member of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee. In addition to these regular committees, he's the ranking Democratic member of the Joint Committee on Aeronautical and Space Sciences and of the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy. Senator Russell is also a former governor of the state of Georgia. And Senator, we're very happy that you could take time from your busy schedule to be with us today.
Well, I'm glad I finally got around to it. We've had a little difficulty in getting together on this program.
Well, I'm glad that you're here right now. And I'd like to start off the questioning, if I may, by asking you this. This batch of civil rights bills that's up for consideration during the current session, is there any big difference between these bills and previous bills that have been introduced?
I do not think there's any great deal of difference. Perhaps the bill that Senator Douglas is sponsoring does have one or two provisions that haven't been with us heretofore. That is the proposal of the federal government to finance the schools in areas where they're closed by the state when threatened by integration. But by and large, it's nearly all a rehash of legislation we've had heretofore.
Now, do you feel that the people in the rest of the country are realizing that civil rights legislation inevitably leads to centralization of government and that, therefore, the people in the North and the West should be interested in it as well as the people of the South?
Well, of course, you cannot take away the rights of a Southern state without affecting adversely the rights of every other state. You cannot deny the rights of the white people of the South without impinging upon the rights of the people of the United States everywhere. I think that there is a gradual awakening to that, though I must say that it hasn't moved as rapidly as I would like to have had. But the vote that just passed H.R. 3 in the House of Representatives does indicate that there's a general awakening throughout the country to the necessity of maintaining our dual system of government of indestructible states.
Do you feel that there is some danger of the United States becoming a government of minorities with all of these pressure groups at work constantly?
Well, that is, I've made several speeches on that. The pressure of minorities who are vocal and who overstate their voting strength exercises a much greater influence in legislation than is warranted by their real voting strength in our representative form of government. And we've seen that in the case of any number of minority groups. I won't undertake to name them, but they are active. They apply pressure to the members of Congress. They are busy giving out handouts to the press and to the radio and to influence public opinion, whereas a great majority of the American people are so busy in this business of making a living that they don't take that part, and that is a very grave threat to the rights and liberties of our people.
Now, Senator Russell, I know that you are the author of a bill which might be called a remedy to civil rights legislation. It concerns the relocation of citizens of this country, a voluntary relocation plan. Would you mind explaining that for us?
Well, this bill grew out of the conviction that has been later supported by every study that's been made that the matter of racial feeling was in almost direct proportion to the proportion of the races in any given area. I found that these people from states that had only 2 or 3% of Negro citizens were always very happy indeed to tell me in Georgia, and we have more Negroes in Georgia than any other state, exactly how we should adjust our social relations and all of the other relations of life between the two races. And it occurred to me that if we would have national legislation that would influence and mold the society, that we should have the same conditions everywhere. And I therefore proposed a plan whereby we would relocate people, both white and Negro, so that there would be approximately 10% of Negro population each in all of the states, so that every state would have the same problem, and that every member of the Congress would be dealing with the same actual condition, rather than the abstract theory of some psychologist or sociologist. I find that men's minds sometimes change when they're confronted with a fact instead of a theory.
Now, how would this voluntary resettlement plan of yours work?
Well, the federal government would assist people to move to other areas if they desire to do so, and they would not move anyone except on his request and with the assurance it would better his economic condition. It provides loan funds for industry that would employ these people at wages above that which they get now. It provides loans for them to improve housing and indeed to establish small businesses of their own. Though I must say that when you get outside of the South, you don't find any areas where Negroes have businesses of their own. At least I'm not aware of it. Down in our part of the world, they own their own banks and stores and taxi cab outfits and things of that nature, but you don't find much of that outside the South.
So in other words, the way this bill of yours would work would be that if a Negro citizen, say, in your state of Georgia or in my state of Mississippi, were honestly convinced that he would have better opportunities going to some other section of the country.
That is correct, that the federal government would help finance him, would, if necessary, give him a grant for his moving expenses. You may be interested to know that when I first introduced this bill in 1949, that I received a large number of letters from white people in outside the South who were very much interested in being assisted in moving to the South. I didn't get a great many letters from Negro citizens in the South, though since then I noticed that a few of them have come out in favor of a plan of this kind.
Do you feel that some of the pressure being brought on the South to integrate is due to economic conditions where the South is booming and other areas of our country are not so fortunate?
Well, I think that there is a feeling. I must say it, I don't know whether it's confined to any one thing. Unfortunately, there is a certain feeling against the South in other areas of the country. Now, whether that's a holdover from what Mark Twain called the late unpleasantness of the 60s, or whether it's generated by a desire to slow down the very almost fantastic economic progress of the South over the past 20 years, I do not know. I've always had trouble in analyzing just the true source of this feeling against the white people of the South. Of course, a great deal of it is based on the misrepresentation of the South through these great media of communication throughout the nation. But I have thought of sometimes that it's a fact that the Southerner, even in hours of adversity, has never been reduced to abandoning his pride. Pride of his community and of his family, and I hope this isn't considered completely out of line, even pride of race. And we hope that our Negro citizens have the same pride of race as our white people have. I've sometimes thought that just because they had never been able to break that pride, even though they destroyed us in a horrible civil war, and since then had held us in some kind of economic bondage for several decades, had a great deal to do with it. And of course, where man was influenced by things of that kind, we saw we were coming out of that bondage and assuming our proper place in the economy of the nation, it would, of course, generate some feeling.
Now, Senator Russell, what do you feel the people of the South need to do to get the rest of the country on our side, so to speak?
Well, we must avail ourselves of every opportunity that we have to bring to the attention of the people of the rest of the nation the real facts. It's an amazing thing, but the people who feel most strongly on maintaining what we call a Southern way of life, which is a separation of races, all it means, so that there be no social intermingling, would eliminate both races and give us a mongrel race. But the strongest feeling usually is shown by those who have lived in other sections and have moved into the South. I have known any number of people who've lived in my state for 10 or 15 years who came out from Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, other areas, that told me that after they'd found the facts of life, that they had changed their opinion completely and were convinced that the only salvation of our society and the only way to assure continuance of the great growth and expansion that we're having now is to preserve the separation of the races in anything that partakes of a social nature.
Do you feel that the Southern states need to unite to get together and present
a
solid front?
I wish we could devise some system that would enable us to unite our efforts. Heretofore, we've had a great deal of difficulty in doing that. As I said a few minutes ago, we do not control the great media of dissemination of information in this country. But there is a real need, of course, for us to unite our efforts as far as we can. I'm afraid I have no comprehensive program that would enable us to do that. We'll have to depend on people like you for that.
Well, Senator Russell, do you feel that with this Southern unity and with the determination of the people, the South can eventually win this struggle?
If we are willing to make the sacrifices that all-out resistance will entail, we can eventually win through. The way will be hard and be rough, and we will not find it easy. But if we really mean what we say and are willing to make the sacrifices, we can win this fight.
Well, Senator Russell, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today, sir. Our time has gone by all too quickly.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the program with you.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Senator Richard B. Russell, a Democrat from the state of Georgia. We'll be back again next week at the same time with another program in our Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.